Hello and welcome to our broadcast today concerning the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 8. My name is Richard Massey and we are studying through the book of Hebrews. It is a wonderful book. It is a powerful book. It is a book to explain why we're not under the Old Testament of Moses, but why we are under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's about getting out from under an old problem-filled covenant, a covenant that could not make the comers perfect, and to be obedient to the New Testament of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is about, and it's explaining that. So we've come to Hebrews chapter 8, as the writer further explains why the New Testament has come and replaced the Old Testament. Let's begin by reading Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and we want to go down to verse number 5. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's Jesus Christ. He's just explained in chapter 7 that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. So we have a different high priest. And now he's taken his place at the right hand of God in heaven. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary. Who is Jesus? He's our high priest. What does he do? He's the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The true tabernacle, of course, is the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 16, you are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of God. We are a living temple, not a made out of rock and stone. We are spiritual stones built up a temple, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. And so Christ is the minister of a sanctuary, and that sanctuary is the church. And God has pitched the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so Jesus has pitched this church, not man, not to John Wesley, not Martin Luther, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. What's the duty of the high priest? To be the minister of the sanctuary, to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What did Christ offer? He offered the greatest sacrifice of all. He offered his life upon the cross. For if he were on the earth, verse 4, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. According to the law is the law of Moses. There were already priests on the earth. That's not what he came to be, a priest on the earth. There's already priests doing that. But he came to be a priest in heaven, and he offered himself as a sacrifice. Verse 5 says, the priest according to the law, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. What were those things in the Old Testament? Well, the Bible says they were shadows. They were examples. Shadows and examples of what? Of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God, he was warned of God, he was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, saith he, thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll find in chapter 19, they came to Mount Sinai. And the law was given there, chapter 20, Exodus 20. God gave the law, and God gave the sacrifices, and God gave the design of the tabernacle. Every board, every ring, every piece of that tabernacle, God designed it and God gave the pattern of it. Every latchet, every aspect of it, every board, everything was given there at the mount. And you know what? They followed it exactly. Why? Because God says you make it according to the pattern. Because we have patterns to follow. And so the tabernacle was a shadow of heavenly things. That's what Moses was. Moses was a type of Christ or a shadow of Christ. God chose Moses. God chose Jesus. Moses did mighty miracles. Jesus did mighty miracles. God gave a law through Moses. God gave a law through his son, Jesus Christ. Moses led the children of Israel to the promised land. That's what Jesus is here to do, to lead us to the promised land. So it was a shadow and of heavenly things. Now the tabernacle that Moses built had one door, one entrance. Jesus said he is the door. John chapter 10, he is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh but to the Father but by him. So in order to get into the Holy of Holies, you had to go through that one door. And the same is true today. There was an altar in that old tabernacle. What was it for? It was to sacrifice animals. But now the cross was the altar, and Jesus sacrificed himself upon the cross. There was the laver in the old tabernacle. What was it for? It was for the priest to wash and to put on their robes. Well, what do we have now? Well, we have baptism. We are baptized into Christ, and we're to put on Christ. We don't have a physical robe. We have a spiritual robe, and that robe is Jesus Christ. And so then, being a shadow of good things to come, there was the holy place. And in the holy place, there was the table of showbread. You know what the priest did with that bread? They ate it. It was their food. Now we have the Word of God. That's what priests do today. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. What else was in that holy place? Well, there was the seven burning lamp, the lamp with seven fires on it. It gave light. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It gave us God's Word to give us light. You know what else was in that holy place? An altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. And then you went into the holiest of all, where the mercy seat was. And only the high priest could go in there. And that's where Jesus is now. Jesus is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. He's our high priest. And so that Old Testament tabernacle was a shadow of better things. Now we have a better high priest. He's after the order of Melchizedek. He's sitting in heaven. He's offered himself one time for all sins, for all people. Isn't that beautiful? And so Christ is sitting on the mercy seat now. We can find mercy before his great throne. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. And so those things were a shadow or an example of good things to come. So in verse 1, it says, we have spoken of the things which we have spoken. This is the sum. This is the chief point. This is the conclusion. Our high priest, verse 1, is sitting on the throne of the majesty in heaven. Not like Aaron that lived on the earth. Our high priest is going into the Holy of Holies. What is the sum of these things? Well, Christ is at the right hand of God, and he's the minister of the true tabernacle, the true sanctuary, which the Lord has pitched. And so that's the chief point of this book. That's the sum of this book. Don't go back to the example. Don't go back to the shadow. Stay with what Christ has established. We are living stones, built up a spiritual house to offer up sacrifices of praise to God 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. We are a part of the true tabernacle, not like the one in the Old Testament. And so being in heaven is significant. Verse 4. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So his being in heaven is significant. He's brought in a new priesthood. He's in a tabernacle and a sanctuary not made with hands, not on the earth. He is not continually offering sacrifices. And the Bible says in verse 2 of Hebrews 8, a minister of the sanctuary, a minister. That word is rarely used in the Bible. It is used concerning someone who serves in a public office at his own expense. Yes, Jesus paid the price by giving his life upon the cross. He is a minister. He's serving as our high priest at the cost of his own life. And he is the minister of the sanctuary, the only one, the sanctuary. Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, singular. They're not sanctuaries. They're not churches. There's only one church. And it's called the true tabernacle. It's the real one. It's the spiritual one. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And so the responsibility of the high priest, verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, Jesus Christ, have somewhat to offer. Well, he did offer something. Look at Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And so Christ is the minister, this minister by his own expense. He paid the price to be the minister of the true sanctuary, which is the church of Christ. He has taken on the responsibility of the high priest to make an offering. Jesus gave himself the ultimate gift. And this one is sufficient for all time. One gift, the gift of his own life, his sinless and perfect life, is sufficient for all time. And so this is the sum. Verse 4, for if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. This is the sum. This is our chief point, the writer is saying. And so all of those things that were given by Moses and in the time of Moses, they all serve as a copy or a shadow. All of the exercises of the Old Testament tabernacle priest and sacrifices, they were there for an example. It resembled the real. A shadow resembles the real, the true. But the shadow doesn't have any fruit on it. If you go to the shadow of a tree, there's no fruit on the shadow. There's only the fruit of the tree. And so Moses was warned. Moses was admonished to make all things according to the pattern. Now, God is a God who has a pattern. We need to mark that down in our minds. God has a plan. God has a pattern. It must be followed. Moses was a type of Christ. The high priest Aaron, his brother, was a type of Jesus Christ. The tabernacle was a type of God's plan to save man today. It was an example. They had the laver of washing. We have baptism. There was an altar. They offered sacrifices. Christ offered himself. They would go in and eat the bread. We have God's spiritual food. They would light the lamp and keep the lamp full of oil to give light. We have the light of the Word of God. We have a light. It was an example that must be followed. When Christ died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. The Holy of Holies, which is heaven, it's now open to men. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can receive help in time of need. God had a pattern. That is the Greek word tupos, which means it's like a mold. And you pour anything in that mold and you produce something in the image of the mold. It's an example. That's what the Old Testament was. Moses was a type of Christ. He was an example of Christ. God gave a law through Moses. Christ gave his own law. And so the examples are there. They offered blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. Well, guess what Jesus did? His blood flowed from the wounds in his head where the thorny crown was. His wounds flowed from the lashes on his body. His blood flowed from the wounds in his hands and in his feet. His blood flowed from the wound in his side when the Roman soldier pierced his side. And blood and water flowed out. Yes, that is a type. We have worship. Our worship today is according to a pattern. We pray in our worship assemblies. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. We sing in our assemblies. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. We have a pattern. We partake of the Lord's Supper in our assemblies, as per 1 Corinthians 11:23 and following, and Acts 20 and verse 7. We are governed by God's divine pattern. We give on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. We have preaching of the Word of God. That's what they did in the first century, Acts 20 and verse 7. God gave us a pattern. We are governed by God's pattern. There's a pattern for worship. There's a pattern for the church. There's a pattern, there's a tupos for us to obey the gospel. You know, in Romans chapter 6, we have this very clear passage which says, verse 17 of Romans 6, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. See that word form? That's the Greek word tupos. It's a pattern. That's what Moses was given. It's a pattern. We follow a pattern to be saved. We hear the gospel. We believe the gospel. We repent of our sins, we confess the name of Jesus, and we're baptized. Then we live the Christian life. And so we've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So we obey a pattern of salvation. Christ is our pattern. We're to follow his life. Paul said, be you followers of me as I also am of Christ. Let's follow Christ. He's our pattern. He's our example. We're to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5. God has given us patterns. God has a pattern for the home. One man marries one woman, and that constitutes marriage in God's eyes. It's a simple pattern, and then they have children. And so the children obey the parents. That father is the head of the house. That's the pattern that God has set. The church has a pattern to follow. The plan of salvation contains a pattern. The home contains a pattern. The church is organized with elders and deacons and preachers and teachers. That's what's in the church. That's God's pattern. And so there's been a change of covenants, Hebrews chapter 8. There's been a change. Verse 6, but now hath he, this is Hebrews 8 and 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. We've got something more excellent than what Moses had. By how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. The better promises is now he remembers our sins no more. You know, look at this next verse, Hebrews 8 and 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. The covenant by Moses was called the first one. The covenant that Jesus is now the minister of is called the second one. What does he say about the first one? Well, the first one wasn't faultless. It had discrepancy, or it had shortcomings. It could not forgive sins. The blood of bulls and goats could not forgive sins. That's a major problem with that law. The law of Moses. God gave his law through Moses on a mountain, Mount Sinai. Jesus delivered his law on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The law that Moses received from God had shortcomings. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and 24. There was the first, and then there was the second. The first had to be removed because it was deficient. And God saw that, and he replaced that. That was even foretold by God in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. God said he would make a law with the house of Israel, not according to the first law. What a wonderful book we have here that teaches us these beautiful things. Hebrews 8 and 8 says, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, well, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. No. He made that first covenant with Israel only. This covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ, is made for all men for all time. The day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That's the church. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. If you're in the kingdom of God now, you've already learned about God in order to obey the gospel. You know about God. You know about his law. And so it's not like that old law. That old law, you had to teach people. They would be in the kingdom. They would be born in the kingdom, but fleshly Israel, and they would have to be taught the law. But in this law, in this tabernacle, you know it already. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is the beautiful part of the New Testament. Our sins are forgiven. They will be remembered no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. That was a quote from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. God foresaw during the days of Jeremiah that the law of Moses would be replaced with a better covenant. Of course, we know now it's the covenant of Jesus Christ. I hope this study of Hebrews chapter 11 has been helpful to you. We pray that it has. And we hope that we'll see you next time. We're going to be studying Hebrews chapter 9. And so my name is Richard Massey. Thank you for listening to this study from Hebrews 8 today. May God continue to bless you. Read Hebrews 8. Read it. Study it. Look into it. learn the beautiful lessons there. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.